You are watching Christ's Commission Fellowship, changing lives for eternity.
This morning, I want to share with you something that is so important. It has to do with disappointments. How many of you have been disappointed at least once in your life? Raise your hands. How many of you have been disappointed recently? Raise your hands. Same number of hands. So you have always been disappointed. Praise God. You know why? I told my children when they were growing up, disappointment is good for the soul. What do you do when you are disappointed? It is really inevitable. Sooner or later, you'll be disappointed with your family, with your loved ones. Sooner or later, in fact, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, one day you will disappoint me. Tell your neighbor. In fact, you should tell your neighbor, sooner or later, I will disappoint you. It's a reality. Expectations in marriage, in your family, in your career, in your business, in your love life, that's one expectation. But your reality may not match the expectations. And the result is disappointment. This morning, this afternoon, I'm going to share with you the life of a great man. This man has every reason to be disappointed. But how did he deal with disappointment? I love bibliographies, especially Bible characters. You'll notice something about Bible characters, which we have been going over in our series. Extraordinary. God uses ordinary people. In fact, even less than ordinary people. But you'll notice something. While none of them are perfect, the focus is not about them. The focus is God, what He can do in our lives. This afternoon, you will learn what God can do when you think you are a failure, when you think you have disappointed yourself and others, and when you are above all disappointed with God. How many of you, be honest with me, you have been disappointed with God? Raise your hands. Some of you are too embarrassed to raise your hands, okay? So, I know what you do. When you're disappointed with God, what do you do? For some people, when they're disappointed with life, what do they do? Can I tell you what most people do? We do a lot of counseling. Many times, they resort to drinking. They want to numb their pain. For some people, you go into drugs. For some people, they get involved with premarital sex. You know why? They have decided, if that's how life's gonna be, I'll just let go of my moral values. For some people, they stop attending worship service. For some people, they stop attending small groups. In Tagalog, you call that tampo. You are making tampo. Tampo is an amazing word from the Philippines, but I have made it into an American word. It's called tampo. Now, what is tampo? Tampo is when you are sulking, when you are not happy, and you just withdraw yourself. Now, many people do that, okay? You are making tampo. Understand that word? So tell your neighbor, don't make tampo with me, okay? Don't make tampo, okay? Don't make tampo. So, are you ready to learn from the Bible about this particular person? Are you ready? All right. We are going to discuss Moses. Everybody say Moses. The topic this morning is very simple. Everybody read. Turn disappointments into blessings. Mind you, disappointments can become blessings if you trust God. One main idea. Turn disappointments into blessings. How do you do it? Trust God. If I see you next week and I ask you, what was the message? What will you tell me? Turn disappointments into blessings. How do you do that? Trust God. Okay, tell your neighbor. Turn disappointments into blessings. You don't have a neighbor? You don't like your neighbor? All right. Smile at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, turn disappointments into blessings. Trust God, okay? All right. My outline is very simple. We will discuss the three parts of the life of Moses. Moses' life can be divided simply into three parts. First part, Moses thought he was somebody. He was a prince. He lived in the palace. Moses' life was characterized by secular education, self-reliance. Moses was impulsive. That's the first part of Moses' life. The second part of Moses' life, he realized he was a nobody. He ran away. He became a fugitive. And that is found from Exodus chapter 2 to 4. And what do you notice during this time of running away, wilderness experience, solitude, obscurity, reflection? That's Moses. Wilderness, from 40 to 80 years. Now, the Bible tells us something happened when he was 80 years old. He discovered God can make a nobody into a somebody. That God can use a nobody extraordinarily. That was what Moses discovered. Exodus chapter 5 to the end of Deuteronomy. Can you imagine? I'm going to describe 5 books of the Bible in the life of Moses in just one setting. Now, if you think I'm going too fast, no problem. You go back to my old videos, my old messages on the book of Exodus. Recall? Did you recall we discussed book of Exodus? You go back and learn more about Moses. But in the meantime, I'm going to summarize it today for you. What can we learn from the different aspects of Moses' life? So how are we going to present the message today? What's the topic? Disappointments. You can turn disappointments into blessings. By what? Trust God. Now, how can you learn to trust God? You look at the first 40 years of Moses' life. We will look at the second 40 years, 40 to 80. And we shall look at the last 40 years of Moses' life, from 80 to 120. Are you ready to learn from this amazing man? All right, let's begin. The Bible tells us, before I tell you what the Bible says, let me give you a quick background. There was a change in dynasty. The Jewish people, once upon a time, were welcomed by the Egyptians. Then something happened. Historically speaking, there was a change of dynasty. A group of people took over the empire. And the Bible tells us the new king of Egypt did not know about Joseph. They did not know history. Therefore, the new regime did not like the Jewish people. They considered the Jewish people as a threat. So they came up with oppressive laws. And that's where you begin to discover genocide. The killing of infants, the killing of children is nothing new. It all started thousands of years ago. So there was a decree given that all Jewish people that is born, if they are male, they should be thrown into the river. They should be killed. That was the background of Moses. When Moses was born, that was the environment. Dangerous to be a boy. And the Bible tells us the parents decided to do something different. So they tried to save Moses. Do you understand? So here was baby Moses. When she could hide him no longer, she got him in a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. So can you imagine the picture now? Moses was put in a basket covered with tars to make it waterproof, and they were watching how this basket will flow down the river. Now, this is where you need to learn that when you're disappointed with the government, when you're disappointed with policies, when you're disappointed with what's happening, like this family, what must you do? Trust God. You know why? Because God knows what's happening. The Bible tells us, look at the amazing thing that was happening behind the scene. Everybody read. It so happened, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe
at the night. It just so happened, at the right time. It so happened, she saw the basket. It so happened, she opened the basket and she saw the child. Behold, the boy was crying. Everybody read, she had pity. Can you see how God is at work? God's timing is amazing. Tell your neighbor, trust Him. Trust God. God's timing is amazing. You may not realize this, but God is at work. And the Bible tells us, His sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? Now, you understand, in the Philippine culture, we have yaya, we have nannies. Well, nothing new. And what did Pharaoh's daughter said? Pharaoh's daughter said, go ahead. The girl went and called who? The child's mother. The child's mother became the yaya. Not only that, the Bible tells us, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Can you imagine taking care of your own children and you are being paid? Is God amazing, yes or no? Is God in control? I tell you, He may not seem to be in control, but if you look at the life of Moses, you learn something about our God. Is our God great? Is God amazing? Well, just look at this story. That what's happening was bad. But even if bad things are happening, God is still in control. Say that with me. God is in control. So when you're disappointed, what must you do? Trust God. One more time. Trust God. I don't know what's happening to your life. It may be bad. Trust God. Now, what happened during this time? Well, first of all, he was given a name. What was the name of Moses? She named him Moses. Why? Because I drew him out of the water. So how many of you are called Moses? Raise your hand. Moses. I know of one or two. All right, you better learn how to swim. Moses from the water. It's a side comment. If you don't laugh, it's okay. No problem. Let's read this together. Well, you know what happened to Moses? This is what happened during that time. By faith, Moses, this is the faith of the parents. When he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It was the faith of Moses that helped them try to save the child's life. By faith, this time it's the faith of Moses now. When he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what happened? How come Moses, when he grew up, decided not to be a prince? Well, let's find out. Moses, the Bible tells us, chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, life is about choices. Moses made a choice, a tough choice. The Bible tells us he would rather endure ill treatment and not to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin can be pleasurable. Don't let anyone deceive you. But sin brings you only temporal pleasure. Moses was wise. The Bible tells us, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is unseen. Moses made tough choices. Now, what surprised me was this. Who taught Moses about God? Who taught Moses that his identity belongs to the people of God and not to the Egyptians? What made Moses go against the culture of his days? What's the answer? What do you think?
Wake up. Can you wake up your neighbor? I'm asking you a question. In your mind, what made Moses go against the culture? To go against the people of Egypt and to side with his own people? Answer? The parents. You see, Moses was home educated. The mother and the father took care of Moses. And even though the time was may not be that long, the influence of the parents are so powerful that it can overcome the education of the secular world. What do I mean? Let's look at the Bible. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, together let's read, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, the most advanced civilization in those days. And he was a man of power in words and deeds. Moses was trained as a prince. Josephus tells us the guy was a great warrior. Moses was educated in the best universities of his days. But when he was younger, who was teaching him? Answer, the parents. May I ask parents to stand up? All parents, stand up. All parents, stand up. Parents, I want to remind all of you that you have the greatest influence in the lives of your children. The problem is this. Many parents do not know how to influence their children. You have not been trained to capitalize on your influence. Be careful to stop blaming schools, to stop blaming society, because you need to assume personal responsibility for your own children. Let me repeat. Society will always try to influence your children. There's no if and buts. But the only way to protect your children is parents must assume that responsibility. You must be intentional. If you don't have a relationship with your children, how are you going to influence them? If you don't model godliness, how are you going to influence your children? Therefore, it is important that you understand your responsibility. Now, we are going to have seminars in teaching you how to be effective parents. Right? That will be upcoming in July, August. In the meantime, begin to think, and how do you influence your children today? Understand? Now, you will be telling me, Peter, I have a problem. My children are old already. Well, let me tell you something. Even though they are old already, perhaps you have missed that opportunity. Never despair. You know why? It's never too late to change. Because you still have influence. Whether you like it or not, parents will always still have influence over their children. Yes or no? But don't give up. Amen? Thank you. Sit down. So the Bible tells us, everybody read now. When he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Do you understand? When Moses was reaching the age of 40, apparently the influence of the parents when he was younger was effective. He made a choice. Look at his choice. When he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptians. Moses did something. His motive was good. He wanted to protect the oppressed, except there was a problem. You see, maturity takes time. Doing God's will is wonderful. Having the right motive is wonderful. But you can have the right motive. And you can be sincere in wanting to do God's will. But you can be doing it the wrong time,
the wrong way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Moses was impulsive. He thought he could do something. You know what he discovered? He was hoping that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. You see, for Moses, he's going to deliver his people. So Moses had the right idea. The mother must have taught Moses, Moses, you are going to help your people. But Moses failed miserably. In fact, he failed miserably. Pharaoh heard of this matter. He tried to kill Moses. Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Make a long story short, Moses became a fugitive. Wrong choices, wrong actions. He began to run, and he began to be lonely. Now, you have to understand, not easy to be running away from the most powerful army, the most powerful man, Pharaoh. But the Bible tells us, even though Moses was running away, he met a group of women. They were shepherdess. And these women were being abused by some other men. Now, Moses was a warrior. He protected the women. And they were so impressed with him. And they invited him to the house. And the father-in-law, the future father-in-law, was smart. Hey, this guy is good. He sounds so educated. So he invited Moses, can you be my son-in-law? You can stay with us, marry my daughter. So make a long story short, Moses decided to live with this family. So what was the job of Moses right now? Moses became a shepherd. Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you imagine what Moses' life is like every day being a shepherd? How many of you have a little experience of being a shepherd? Raise your hand. I know why. You know why? You guys are city boys. Okay, city boy. You are the special group. You live in palaces. But you have no idea what it means to be a shepherd. I want you to imagine. You wake up early in the morning. You now bring the sheep to the pasture. You are looking for grass. And what do you hear every morning? What do you hear? Meh. Hey, that's pretty good, huh? One more time. Meh. Was that good? Now, imagine. You do this every day for 40 years. For 40 years, that's all you do. You watch the sheep. You hear them talking to each other. Meh, okay? For 40 years. What was in Moses' mind? Can you tell me? I believe during this time, Moses must have been thinking, my future is finished. For the rest of my life, that's all I'm going to do. Shepherd. You see, from somebody known, you are a prince, you rub elbows with dignitaries, and now you rub elbows with meh. My friend, I believe it is this time when you are in the wilderness. Moses was in the wilderness. He experienced solitude. Obscurity. Friend, I don't know what's happening to your life, but some of you may be going through a wilderness experience. Nothing is happening to your career. Nothing is happening in your love life. Nothing is happening in your life as if it's on hold. Shepherd, nothing. And it is this time when you feel like giving up, when you feel like there's no more future, can I suggest something? It is during this time when God's gonna teach you some of the greatest lessons about life. You know why? We need to learn the discipline of silence, the discipline of solitude, the discipline of obscurity. There are some people, they refuse
to go through the wilderness experience. Just this morning, somebody reminded me of what happened to his life. He told me, you know, Peter, I was teaching Bible. I was always in the States. And I remembered you telling me, because of what has happened, he reminded me, stop teaching Bible for a while, stop leading any group, spend time with the Lord. See, I already forgot I told him that. And he said, it was this time of wilderness experience when I encountered greatest intimacy with the Lord. You know why? When you are obscure, when nobody knows you, when you are no longer preaching, when you are willing to be a nobody, you begin to discover who God is. I wonder, are you satisfied if you are no longer given any ministry, any position, about your job, if God takes all of them away and all you have is the Lord, will you be satisfied? Will you be happy? And that's why I tell people, during wilderness experiences, treasure it. I remember my own experience years ago when I was hospitalized. You know, when you're in the hospital room, you have silence, you have solitude, and you're all alone. It was during this moment when I could hear God clearly telling me what to do. I believe God is speaking to us. But the problem is not God. The problem is we are too busy. You know why? Look at what happened to Moses. After 40 years, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning thorn bush. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. He approached to look more closely. Then the voice of the Lord came. Do you understand? God grabbed the attention of Moses through a burning bush. I believe if that burning bush was happening while Moses was in the palace, Moses would not have noticed the burning bush at all. You see, God wants to speak to us. But the problem is not God. The problem is us. We are too busy. And sometimes you are too busy, not with the wrong thing. You are too busy with the right thing. And that's why wilderness is not always a bad idea. Has God been trying to speak to you? You know, all the burning bush will not get your attention if you live in the palace. If you are so busy with your own agenda. God speaks to us in many ways. We have many experiences. If you look at history, in the case of Joseph, how did God speak to Joseph? Remember, Joseph was in prison. Joseph was in a dream. God spoke to Joseph. How did God speak to David? David was a shepherd. But how did God speak to David? He will use Nathan. God uses people. God will use circumstances. He will use all kinds of things to speak to us. The problem is this. Are you listening now? The problem is this. God speaks. Are you listening? That's the challenge. Are you listening? Do you believe God will use disappointments as a means of getting your attention? Is that possible? I think so. So what must you do? When you're disappointed, what must you do? Trust God. Turn disappointment into blessings. If you're in the wilderness, trust God. Listen. Learn to listen. Because God wants to touch base with you. Now, this is amazing. The Bible tells us this is what happened. The Lord spoke in the midst of the burning bush. Moses, let's read together. Everybody, read together. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses,
Moses. If you are Moses, will you be shocked? And then the Lord said, God said, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Then he said, everybody read. This is what God told Moses, together. Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. God is telling Moses, Lesson 101, how do you approach God? He is holy. Moses had a personal encounter with the living God. And what did God tell Moses? God said, everybody read, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. I am aware of their sufferings. God wanted Moses to realize that he is good, he is loving. The Bible tells us, God told Moses, I am aware of their sufferings. Say that with me. I am aware of their sufferings. What's my point? When you think that God does not know what's happening, you are completely wrong. God told Moses, I know my people. I know they are suffering. Now, if you are Moses, what will enter your mind? Remember, God told Moses, I have surely seen. I have seen their affliction. I see. I am aware. And then Moses must be so happy because God says, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what can you learn about God? God is aware of our suffering. He's aware of our pain. And God is saying, I want to deliver them from the bondage of the Egyptians and bring them to the promised land. Ladies and gentlemen, if you study the book of Exodus, it is a book of redemption. If you recall, the book of Exodus is a picture of how God deals with us. It's a picture of our Christian life, how before we came to Christ, we are in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to the world. Just like the Israelites, they were in bondage to the Egyptians. There is no way they can get out. They need a miracle. And God did an amazing miracle. God has to intervene to get them out of Egypt. And that's what God is telling Moses. I want to come down. I want to save my people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are Moses, will you be excited? Wow. 40 years ago, that was my plan, 40 years ago. But I thought it would never come true. You know, sometimes your vision, your dream, boop, will disappear. Do you have certain dreams that you have given up? Yes or no? You're disappointed. You have given up. Well, welcome to the club. It happens to everybody. But God is going to teach us something. God tells Moses, Moses, I'm coming down. Moses was so excited, except for the next sentence. You know why? There's a problem. God says, I am coming down. Moses must have said, hallelujah! And then God says, therefore, come, I will send you. Excuse me. You said you will come. God says, I am coming. I will send you. What can you learn about God? So that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel. What can you learn? Can I tell you something? When God wants to do something, He does it through His people. When you ask God to do something, and God says yes, God will use who? You. He uses people. Moses is learning. You will save the people, right? God says, right. You do it. Now, what will you do if you were Moses?
I tell you, Moses gave God 5 excuses. This is amazing. The ways of the Lord. God wants to do something, but he will do it through his people. Moses said to God, "Oh, boss, Lord, who am I? Who am I, Lord?" You see, Moses was broken. The brokenness experience takes time. Because Moses thought he was somebody. Now remember, how can God use somebody? For the last few weeks, we have been discussing brokenness. Moses was going through brokenness. Somebody who is broken, you will notice something. He stopped depending on himself. He begins to realize, I cannot do it. Broken people are humble people. They realize they cannot do it. Broken people are dependent people. They are not self-sufficient. People who are self-sufficient are not broken. They think they're the answer to humanity. No. Brokenness. Lord, you are the answer, not me. That's Moses. Moses said, Lord, who am I? Of course, God knows. God knows who you are. You are nobody. I know that. But God's answer. Everybody read. Certainly, I will be with you. In the brokenness, you begin to realize God is all you need. Moses gave God 5 excuses. Excuse number 1, who am I? Excuse number 2, what is his name? What shall I say to the people? If they ask me, who are you? Third excuse, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? Do you see these are all valid excuses? Lord, you want me to go, I will go. But what if they don't believe me? Are these valid excuses? Sure. Excuses number 4. I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, don't blame Moses. The Bible says he was powerful in words. But how come after 40 years, he said, I'm slow in speech? Can I tell you why? You try talking to sheep for 40 years. Meh. Eventually, you will begin to realize, you know what? I've lost my ability to speak. Moses lost his self-confidence. Hallelujah! When you lose self-confidence, you know why? The world will tell you, no, you must have self-confidence. Let me tell you, in the Christian world, you must have God-confidence, not self-confidence. Amen? God-confidence, not self-confidence. God was bringing Moses to that point. Real blessing will come when through your disappointment, through your failures, you are driven to the Lord. Now, his last excuse was not acceptable. The Bible tells us, look at his last excuse. Lord, now, sent the message by. Lord, sent anybody but not me. At this time, God became angry. The only time God got angry with Moses when he was giving excuses was when he was disobedient. Praise God. God did not give up on Moses. Can I tell you the summary of all of the answer of God to all of these excuses? You know what was God's answer to all of these excuses? God says, I am the answer. See, when Moses said, I cannot speak, God said, who made mouth? Who will make people deaf? Who will make them blind? Who made your mouth? See, God is telling Moses, Moses, I will be your mouth. Moses, I will teach you what to say. Moses, you feel inadequate? No problem. I will be with you. Praise God. He is our sufficiency. Amen? So listen to me. What's the message today? When you are disappointed, what must you do? Trust God. Now, how do you trust God? Look at God's timing. He's amazing. At the right time, 40 years. So after another 40 years, how old was Moses by this time? Let's read. Moses and Aaron did it. Everybody read. Moses was 80 years old. Huh. When God called Moses and Moses responded, how old was he? 80. How many of you are 80 years old today? Raise your hands. 80. This morning, there was somebody who's 80. I honored that lady.
And how many of you are 80?
Wow, this is a young congregation. How many of you are close to 80? You are 60 or 70. Will you please stand up? 60, 70. I want you to stand up.
Umamin na kayo. Tumayo na kayo. 60 to 70. Stand up.
My goodness. Jim, are you already 60? Okay. Now listen to me. According to research, the most productive years in a person's life, can you guess? 60 to 80. Based on research, the top CEOs of the biggest companies in the world, average age over 60. The Nobel Prize winners, average age over 60. Pope, the average age of the Pope is over 70. So my friend, you still have hope. You still have hope, okay? My friend, do not think of retirement. The best years is yet to come. Amen? So praise God. I want to encourage you. Don't think of retiring. Sit down, sit down. Now, Moses began to serve God at what age? 80. So if you guys are thinking you are too old to serve God, I want you to realize Moses began serving God when he was 80. You see, disappointment will become a blessing when you trust God. God was telling Moses, Moses, you trust me. I'm going to use you. The Bible tells us Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord and they went to see Pharaoh. Now, let me ask you, was Pharaoh easy to deal with? I tell you, Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh and they told Pharaoh, Pharaoh, the king, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast for me. You see, Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord. Pharaoh, let the Jewish people go. Let them go. What did Pharaoh say? Of course, you want to go? Of course you can go. Is that what Pharaoh said? No. What did Pharaoh say? Notice what Pharaoh said. Everybody read. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go. In this room today, you have people who are pharaohs. Right in this room, there may be some of you who are like Pharaoh. You don't obey the Lord. And the reason you don't obey the Lord is you don't know him. That's a Pharaoh. You are your own boss. Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You see, ladies and gentlemen, your action speaks so loud that you cannot deceive God. God knows whether he's Lord of your life or not. I cannot see your heart, but God sees. And that's my concern. We have pharaohs in our midst today. You have to humble yourselves and realize, you know what? I thought I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I thought I'm a follower of Jesus. All you have is religion. Pharaoh was very religious. Pharaoh worshipped many gods. But what Pharaoh did not have is he did not know the true God. So Pharaoh simply said, I will not obey the Lord. Why? I don't know him. So ladies and gentlemen, when people don't obey the word of God, when people don't obey the Lord, you have to go deeper. Is it possible that they have religion, but they don't have Jesus? Well, God knew the task is going to be difficult. And that's why God wanted to use somebody who is totally surrendered to Him. Moses was great, first 40 years, but he was not usable. Moses has not surrendered his own ambition, his life, his style. Moses cannot be used, even though God wants to use him. It took another 40 years so that Moses can be broken, so that Moses is totally surrendered. And now that Moses is 80 years old, he is ready to listen to God. Look at what happened. The Bible tells us God used Moses. First encounter with Pharaoh, God told Moses, you are going to do miracles, lots of miracles, to convince Pharaoh. Turning the water into blood, the frogs to come out to the land, gnats all over the place, flies. Now, it's amazing. When God told Moses, you tell Pharaoh, the flies are going to bother you. You know, the flies filled the land of Egypt, except in Goshen, where the Israelites were. This is amazing. The flies obeys the Lord. Don't go there. You know, God, is God in control? Amazing. All livestock of the Egyptians died, except God protected the livestock of the Israelites. Amazing. Boils, you know, boils, so painful. But not on the Israelites. Hail, my goodness, hailstones, killing people, killing animals, but not in the land of the Israelites. Locusts all over the place. Darkness all over the land, except in Goshen. Now, how in the world can that happen? I tell you. Is God amazing, yes or no? Let me ask you, can you trust God?
Yes.
Louder, can you trust God?
Yes.
Is God big?
Yes.
Is God powerful?
Yes.
Look, the firstborn. Every firstborn must die. You know, this is amazing. God told Moses, Pharaoh is going to be stubborn. He will not let the people go until the last plague. What was the last plague? All the firstborn will die. May I ask all the firstborn to stand up? All the firstborn, stand up. You know, in every family, you have a firstborn. In theory, every family has a firstborn. Now, if you have two firstborn in your family, I wonder. All right, all firstborn, listen to me. According to the Lord, He told Moses to tell everybody, all the firstborn, what will happen to you? You will die. All the firstborn. Except, you want to be saved, firstborn? I want you to imagine now, hey, I want you to imagine now, you are there. And the announcement came, all the firstborn will die. I don't think they laugh, okay? I think they were so scared, okay? And you want to be saved? Here's the solution. You want to know the solution? I want to highlight this particular miracle. You know why? I want to show you to trust God means to trust His ways. You may not understand, but you trust Him. All the firstborn, please read. This is the solution. All firstborn called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You must slay the Passover lamb. The book of Exodus explained the Passover lamb must be without blemish. Read the next verse. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. What is the instruction? Kill the lamb, put the blood in the basin, and use the hyssop. Hyssop is a kind of plant. Dip it in the blood, and what do you do with the blood? Put it on the doorpost outside your house. And then God made a promise. Everybody read. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when He sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will Passover. So the word Passover comes from this historical event. When the angel of death came to Egypt, when he sees the blood, he will pass over. Now, notice the promise. And will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever and ever. This is a historical event being practiced by the Jewish people up to today. Many years ago, I was in New York City. I was entertained by a Jewish lawyer. And the lawyer brought me to his house. We went through the Passover ceremony. Now, let me ask you a question. How will the firstborn be saved? Answer? Wake up, wake up. What's the answer? When you put the blood on a doorpost. The Egyptians died, not because they are Egyptians. The Israelites were saved, not because they were Israelites. They were saved, not because they were rich. They were saved, not because they had money. They were saved, not because they are good people. They were saved for only one reason. The blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of years later, 2,000 years ago, during the Passover, what did Jesus do for us? During the Passover, when all the Jewish people are looking for a lamb to kill, Jesus chose the Passover date to tell the people, I am the Lamb of God, and your sins are forgiven because I will shed my blood. In other words, the power of the devil is broken because of the blood. It's because of Jesus. There is no other salvation. This is an amazing story. Moses was used by God to preach the gospel. Do you understand? So, ladies and gentlemen, you are saved because of the blood. The Jewish people were set free because of the blood. Is God amazing? Sit down. Now, what can you learn? This is the lesson. God used Moses to perform these amazing miracles. But what do you notice? You notice one thing. It is not the power of Moses. It is the power of the Lord. It is not the methods of Moses. It is not the wisdom of Moses. Everything is about God. But God wants to use people. God wants to use you. Question is, are you usable? You are not usable until you learn to be broken. And the pathway to brokenness is many times through disappointments. When you begin to realize, I am sick and tired of my own ways. I am sick and tired of making my own choices. I surrender to the Lord. That is what happened to Moses. Moses learned that he's nothing. Can you imagine all of these miracles? Ladies and gentlemen, Moses will never know what God can do if he did not obey him. You will never know what God can do in your life, through your life, until you obey him. You will not experience the power of God in your life, through your life. You will not experience miracles in your life, through your life, as a rule, until you learn to trust God and obey. To trust God means what? To obey. Listen to me. If you keep telling me you trust God, you believe in God, but you don't obey, what are you telling me? You have religion, but you don't really trust God. To trust means to obey. Notice, God used Moses to write the Ten Commandments. God used Moses to write the five books of the Bible, Tabernacle. These are all amazing stories. I suggest you go back to the old video and listen to the messages. But notice, as we close, I want to ask you, what was the greatest desire of Moses? What did he pray for? What did Moses pray for? A while ago, did you pray? Did you pray silently? Okay, there's only one person praying, okay? Praise God. Now, listen to me. What did you pray for? You know what you pray for reveals to me what is really your desire. What you really pray for will tell me what's your priority in life. Can I tell you what Moses prayed for? You'll be amazed. Highlights of Moses' prayer. Moses prayed, "If I found favor in your sight, let me," everybody read, "let me know your ways." For what purpose? That I may know you. Moses' prayer, "I want to know you. I want to please you." Moses wanted God above all else. Notice. Let's continue reading. "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." You see, Moses prayed, "Lord, my greatest desire, I want you. Lord, if you don't go with us, do not lead us out of here." Moses prayed, "I want you, I want to know you, I want your presence." Ladies and gentlemen, many years ago, God gave me that same desire. When we started CCF many years ago, I said, "Lord, if you are not with CCF, if your presence is not with us, I will not be the pastor of CCF. I will not lead CCF." You know why? I have learned the most important thing in life is God's presence. Amen? And that has been my prayer. I said, "Lord, if you are no longer with CCF, I'm out of here." You know what's my prayer? That God will be with you. God's presence is with your family. God's presence is in your business. God's presence is in your work. God's presence is in your ministry. Question: is God present in what you're doing? You will notice, you will not see Moses praying until age 80. When Moses discovered that the greatest thing in life is God. Friend, if you have God, you have everything. If you don't have God, you have nothing. Look at the prayer of Moses. After this, Moses had one more prayer request. Can I tell you his prayer request? He really wanted God. Moses said, "I pray." See, God said, "Moses, I will do all of these things." But Moses said, "I pray, show me your glory." Now, how many of us pray like that? "Lord, I want to know you. Show me your glory." Friends, your desire for God is measured by your desire to spend time with Him. Your prayer life, my prayer life, is a thermometer. It reveals to us how much we long for the Lord. And my prayer is CCF, all of us, we really long for God. We want Him. Amen? You want to turn disappointment into blessings? What must you do? Trust God. What does it mean to trust God? You obey Him. What does it mean to trust God? You long for His presence. You must want Him. How can you trust God? How can you trust someone if you don't trust Him, if you don't love Him, you don't want Him? You know, the final test of Moses was his last request. You know his prayer request, the last one? He wanted to go to the promised land. "Lord, I pray, help me to cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, the good country in Lebanon." You know, Moses pleaded with God, "Lord, help me. I want to enter the promised land. You know what's so amazing? Look at what's so amazing. The Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough, speak no more of this. Go up to the top of Pisgah, lift up your eyes to the west and north and south and east and see it with your own eyes. You shall not cross over this Jordan. God did not allow Moses to enter the promised land. Now, how will you feel if you are Moses? Imagine, for 120 years, that has been your objective, to bring people to the promised land. And after 20 years, God says, sorry, you are not going to enter the promised land. How would you feel? Be honest, how would you feel? Disappointed. You see, my friend, your capacity to handle disappointment is proportionate with your intimacy with God. If you are intimate with God, you can handle disappointment. You know why? You can say, Lord, that is my dream. That is my hope. But should you not give it to me, it's okay. Why? I trust you. What happened to Moses? Would you like to know what happened to him? God told Moses, you charge Joshua, encourage him, strengthen him. He shall go across ahead of these people, and he will give them the inheritance. In other words, Moses, you are not going to get the credit. You are not going to get the glory. It's going to be your disciple, Joshua. Now, if you are Moses, what will you say? Pambihira naman si Lord. Dadabog dabog ka ba? In English, daybog, you know. Will you throw a tantrum? Will you get angry at God and say, Lord, it's not fair. I've given you my entire 120 years of my life, and yet you refuse to let me bring the people to the promised land? Moses did not do that. Moses was faithful. The Bible tells us Moses obeyed the Lord. Moses called Joshua and said to him, be strong, be courageous. You shall go with these people in the land which the Lord has sworn. Moses encouraged Joshua. Be strong, be courageous. Look at what Moses told Joshua. Moses said, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not be dismayed. Exactly the most important thing Moses discovered, the presence of God. God told Moses to tell Joshua, Joshua, go ahead. God will be with you. He will not fail you. Did Moses encourage Joshua? Yes. A true leader will have successors. A leader without a successor is not yet a successful leader. Moses was successful. You know why? Moses learned. Lord, what is important is your agenda, not my agenda. That's brokenness. Did Moses enter the promised land? How many of you said yes? How many of you said no? How many of you said Moses did not enter the promised land? Raise your hand. Higher. Wow. Many. How many of you said Moses entered the promised land? Raise your hand. All right, what's the right answer? Moses entered the promised land. Do you know? I am not inventing. All right, let me share with you. This is something very touching to me. I bring people to Mount Nebo every year. We go to this place every year. Moses went up from the plains of Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, opposite Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I will give it to your descendants, but you shall not go over. This is the picture we took, okay? The picture we took in Mount Nebo. God showed Moses all the land. But Moses, you will only see, but not enter. And the Bible tells us, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his vigor abated. In other words, physically, Moses could still enter the promised land. Moses could still lead the people. But God says, no, I have other plans for you. Since that time, everybody read, since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses was intimate with God. Moses knew God. And he surrendered. But did Moses enter the promised land? Yes. Let me tell you, everybody, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and Jesus was transfigured before them. Everybody read, behold, Moses and Elijah appeared. Where did Moses appear? In the promised land. Did Moses enter the promised land? Yes, but not in his time. It's in God's time. Do you know that song? In his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time. Wow. We will sing that later. My friend, not all of our longings, not all of our dreams, not all of our ambitions is realized in this lifetime. Many times, your hopes and dreams will happen, but you do not know when. For many of us, God promised you something. Don't despair in his time. In God's time, Moses entered the promised land. What about you? My friend, when you're disappointed with God, what must you do? Trust him. Let's pray. If God has spoken to you, and some of you have never really encountered the Lord, you don't really know the Lord, you're not able to trust him, but you said, Peter, I realize God loves me, he's trustworthy, his timing is amazing, he's all-powerful, I want to trust him. I want to know him. If that's your desire, I want to pray for you. If you want to have a real encounter with God, like Moses, will you raise your hands? I'll pray for you. Higher. Now, praise God. You know what? Higher. You know, this is something so crucial. Because God wants you to have an encounter with him. The only problem is perhaps you're so busy. You don't have time for him. So I want to pray for you. With your hands raised up, you pray this prayer with me, okay? Hands up higher, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I come before you, broken, humbled. Lord Jesus, help me to know you. I invite you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Help me to obey you. Help me to trust you. Father God in heaven, I pray for this group of men and women who have raised their hands. You know their hearts. I pray for them that they will encounter you in the most amazing way. Will you quietly stand up? Those of you who raised your hand, just stand up right now. Stand up. I want to say a special prayer for you. Those of you who prayed that prayer, stand up wherever you are. Stand up. Some of you have not yet surrendered your life. If you want to surrender your life right now, God is speaking to you, why don't you stand up also? If you want to surrender your life, but you have not surrendered your life, you have not surrendered your disappointment, you can also stand up. I'll pray for you also. Anybody else? Don't fight him, okay? Don't fight him. When God's speaking to you, don't resist him. Just stand up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Anybody else? You know why? This is your moment. This is your burning bush moment. God speaks to you. Anybody else? Praise God. I know it is in this time when you can be silent before God, when you're all alone, in the midst of obscurity, God is very real. Anybody else? I want you to surrender your disappointment, surrender your life to him. Praise God. Father God in heaven, I just thank you for this group of men and women who have signified their intention to surrender their lives to you, their future. I want to pray for them. To those who pray to receive you, for those who pray to surrender, whatever be their choices, their decision, honor them, guide them. And above all, Lord Jesus, make yourself so real that our disappointments can become blessings, that our hopes and our dreams may not happen today, but Lord, we don't give up hope. We keep trusting you. It may be now, it can be future, but Lord, one thing we know, in eternity, our hopes and dreams will all come true. In Jesus' name we all pray, amen and amen.